Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello and welcome to Wholesome Chaos, episode 51, a great podcast this week with the whole family. But before we get into it, I wanted to let you know there's going to come a moment about 25, 30 minutes in when there's a slight change in the audio. That's not your radio or your headphones or anything like that. It was a microphone in the studio that just had a little bit of a technical glitch. It's not a big deal. You can still hear everything just fine, but it affects Eddie and Shay. So just when it comes to them, listen a little bit louder. That's it. Enjoy the rest of the podcast and have fun because we sure did too. Here you go.
Great. So this is it. This is it. We're doing a family podcast. I'm so excited. Got Eddie here and Mom, and they're driving in the back seat of the podcast. We got two layers here.
You know you're not recording.
You're not recording.
Oh, yep. There we go. All right, I'm on my phone doing a selfie. If I had a nickel for every time I shot a great video that I wasn't recording. Yeah. So Mom and Eddie are in the back seat. Maggie and I are in the front seat. And this is cool. It's like you're going on a family road trip with the Thurmans.
Oh, my God.
By the end of the podcast, Eddie's going to be covered in dog hair.
You need to stop.
Sorry, his black shirt's going to be totally red.
Where's Simon?
He's hiding. He's not feeling well. Under the table. He has pain. Okay.
Simon is shy of podcasts.
Are we podcasting?
He's a sound dog.
I think we're podcasting. This is going to be wild. I'm so glad you're here listening to this podcast because it's going to be super fun and unpredictable. We've got a lot to cover.
Maybe we should just roll the intro.
Music. Intro of music.
Go for it.
Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos. Mags and Dads, wholesome chaos.
So how about that weather?
Oh my gosh. We started this podcast, it was 72 degrees in the studio, but by the end of the podcast, who knows? Because we had to turn off the AC so that you don't hear it on the microphones. So periodically, I'm going to get up and check the temperature just so we can moderate that.
So when you hear a bunch of clanking.
No, I can do it smoothly.
I'm very smooth.
I don't think so.
And silent. Mom always says, Dan, I hardly hear you at all.
Like pull in a kind of china shop.
Last night when I was home and I was putting things away in the kitchen and grabbing some food, I was so conscious of how loud I was and none of it was intentional. And you were down there too. And I literally had the thought. I was like, is this what dad feels like? Because for me, every time I made a loud noise, I was like, I made a loud noise. Do you like notice when you make a loud noise?
I do notice. Yeah.
You do?
Sometimes it's unintentional.
Sometimes. Yeah, we usually put your headphones in.
Well, there
so you're
is
listening
that.
To yourself, so you but think you're silent when you're hearing
that I do
something.
Early that like grinding coffee.
Yeah.
That you know, you can't make that quiet. Yeah. I did get a hand grinder for a while that I used to use, but it took like 5 minutes to grind the coffee sufficient to make one cup of coffee.
Yeah. So you said, this is not worth it. We'll wake everyone up for a quick sec.
Yeah, just a quick sec. They can get back to sleep. See, I can't get back to sleep, but you guys can, right?
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Yeah,
I have a theory that if you're tired enough, you can like sleep through anything. I noticed that one time when Aiden and I, we had like a sleepover here at the office and it was just us and we were really scared that the house was haunted because it might be.
Because it is.
Mm. It's an old house. Things creak. And so the door had like opened on its own or something. And we scooched the two twin beds next to each other because we were so scared and we had the light on. And for maybe 30, 40 minutes, we had the light on and we were talking and we were trying to stay awake and not scared. And then we got tired enough where we were like, if we die, we die.
Yeah.
Exactly. Might as well get some sleep beforehand.
Yeah. I've been there.
If you're tired enough, you can be okay with your circumstances.
Yeah. At the beginning of the night, I can fall asleep quickly.
That's true.
And I can sleep well through the noises of the night. But when I wake up in the morning, man, I'm up. Like, let's go. Let's start the
4
day.
4 a.m.
Yeah.
We're opposites like that.
Happy birthday, Maggie.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
It's still your birthday week. You're 20 years old. How do you feel about turning 20? Excited?
Crazy. I'm in my 20s.
Yes, I
that
know
feels
that.
Weird. That feels weird.
A lot of things happen in your 20s.
Yeah, I might be married in my 20s.
You might be.
Hopefully.
You might be a world famous actress in your 20s.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. You might be a mom. You might be a
professional dog walker in your 20s.
Let's hold off on the mom bit just for a little bit. Who knows? No, I did a whole thing. I think Eddie talked about this too, that he did something very similar to this when you were turning 20.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Kind of, and I did this before you even said that, of writing down the kind of person I want to be in my 20s, the kind of things I want to leave in my teenage years. Mm. And that's so exciting. It's so exciting to be kind of walking in a new chapter of your life and saying, this is 10 years.
Can I got 10 years. Can you give us an example of like something you want to become and something you want to leave in your past?
Yeah, I want to. Oh my gosh, I should have brought it. I know something for sure that I want to leave in my past is judgment. Either judging myself or judging others, which not even like vocal judging of, you know, like meanness, but even just like the quick thoughts you have where you'll randomly like just judge something and then you're like, mm-hmm. why the heck did I do that? Mm-hmm. Like, why? Like, I want to leave all judgment in the past. I don't think there's any place for judgment in anybody's life.
That
unless
is,
you're an unless actual you're judge.
Jury.
Speaking of which, you do have jury duty.
Maybe.
Week. You haven't been called to report yet.
We're doing good so far.
And it's Wednesday, so. Or wait, is it Wednesday?
No, Tuesday. We're doing it. We're recording a day early.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. I'm used to Wednesday so podcasts.
I imagine that Maggie on the jury and they're like, what do you think, Maggie? And she's like, I've decided to leave all judgment in my place.
I don't believe it's my place to have an opinion. And they're like, all right, dismissed.
Yes, exactly. That would be a great way to get off the jury, actually.
I kind of hope I get called. I think that'd be crazy.
That would be fun.
But also, I don't want to spend like all day doing something, you know?
Or get put on a trial that lasts like 3 weeks and then you have to extend your trip. And
Or three months.
Well, let's not go there. Let's not dissuade her.
Let's not go there.
But this has been, it's been great to see you. And one of the surprises for your birthday is that Eddie came out.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I almost blew it early on because I was trying to get show tickets while the kids were here. And I was like, well, I'll just group text. And then Eddie, thankfully, I was like, do you guys want to go see the show on Thursday night? And Eddie sends me a separate text saying, oh, I thought I was a surprise. I'm like, crap. So I called Maggie. What you doing, honey? And fortunately, it was early. It was like 8:30 in the morning your time.
And fortunately, I've been trying to get in the habit of not checking my phone first thing in the morning.
Yeah, you were like, I'm washing my face. And I was like, oh, did you see that text I sent? And you're like, no, why? I was like, just delete it.
So I had her.
So you really did that?
I literally had the thought. I was like, I should just read it, right? And then tell her I didn't. But I thought, you know what?
Nah.
No, I'll go along with it. So I told her to.
That's discipline. Restraint.
I know that's something I wouldn't have done probably 5 years ago. But I told her, I said, send a few extra texts. So when I open my messages, I just see the stuff you're sending now. So I can delete the whole thing.
So you don't accidentally see what it was. So I was like, delete. Did you delete it? Do you see this?
Well, I also thought there was a possibility that maybe it was something that was just meant for Eddie, like personal.
Oh, okay.
Where like it wasn't my business to know. So I was like, okay, I'll respect that and I'll delete that.
Oh, that was a good thought. No, it came out of a podcast where we were talking about selling the mountain house and you said, can we go up one more time? And we said, yes, we'll try to squeeze that into this trip that we knew you were coming home. That's when we reached out to Eddie and said, hey, do you want to be a part of this? See the mountain house one more time and surprise Maggie for her birthday. And that's how it all came together. Was that hard for you to get away and scramble?
Not really. I felt like when you described that to me, I was like, yeah, I just already knew like I wanted to do that, especially if it's, you know, the last time that we go. So I felt like it was pretty pretty manageable. And being here, I kind of had a feeling that I would feel like really homesick for California now. But I feel like it's just weird. It's like I never left. I'm like back into the swing of things here. So
Really, you do jump in so quickly. It's wild.
So weird.
It feels the same to me. It feels like when you guys are in high school, you know, or just graduating, but you're still home during the summer. And I love it.
You were telling me, though, that kind of it feels different in some ways, too, that like home hits differently after you've left for a minute. What do you mean by that kind of?
Oh, man. I think, I don't know. It's just everything, I think. It is that aspect of, like, it seems like time hadn't passed at all and everything was like exactly how it was before, but then you see a lot of things and it's like, no, time's like totally passed. And yeah, it's just weird. And then kind of thinking back on California, it seems like that was so long ago when other things that happened here that were way longer seem like they just happened. So it's weird.
Is that called a paradox? Is that what a paradox is?
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
I drove by, I was with a friend yesterday, and we like ended up driving by our old school, and it sent like a chill down my spine where I was like, oh, like, it's just like, you don't want to run into people really. And you feel like you get caught when somebody sees you after high school, and you're like, oh, hey.
I'm on my way to work.
And then they said something where they were like, well, everyone that we would have known is already gone, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, crap. You're right. I haven't been in high school in 2 years.
Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but you would have been in plays at least with underclassmen.
Yeah, so that's true.
There may be, but you were more close with the couple years below you.
I didn't even look back, man. When I graduated high school, I don't think I went back at all. Very odd.
Yeah, well, I went back the first year I was in college, like right after I'd graduated for like shows.
Yeah.
Because I had friends in the shows. Or I guess I only went to one show. Didn't really go see any of my teachers. Most of my teachers had left. I also just, the ending of high school was really just like disappointing.
COVID.
Yeah. And then the school didn't like really do anything to try and like
make it up to
John
seniors.
John Kaczynski did.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of felt like let down in that manner by the school a little bit, just like hurt. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's silly and like petty, but
no, I mean, it's like graduating is also, it seems like such a big deal when you're in it. I mean, and you're saying goodbye to like a lot of friends knowing.
And we never got that.
Yeah.
I mean, we had
our little graduation party here.
But it's more so about, I keep in touch with my friends.
Yeah.
It's more so about the people who you're only friends with in that one class, who now you might never see again.
Yeah. Like, even like the rituals, totally. Like signing yearbooks and stuff like that.
Yeah, signing yearbooks.
And homecoming. Well, you did homecoming.
We didn't have prom.
But you didn't have prom, and you didn't have your second play. You didn't have some senior trip, senior picnic.
What about like graduation itself? Was that?
We had graduation ourselves
in July.
Yeah.
Because it was a smaller school and a smaller class, they did it in a way that was social distance with masks in a big church. And it worked out. It wasn't right
that
away. They delayed
so
it
rough.
Several
right.
months before we actually did it, but
yes,
at least
we
least
got
they did,
the experience.
Yeah.
So you didn't know that we didn't know for sure that it was really going to happen until it happened. And then they let the kids walk out without the mask so we could take pictures. And then once they stood there and got their pictures taken, and we're all wearing masks, then they masked up and sat down for the rest of it.
But I think the whole ending of high school is what makes it so hard to feel like you can move on. Like from what I've talked about with my class, and I'm sure the classes below me who are still going through COVID, is there's no closure, so there's no definite end. So I very much still feel like high school was not that long ago. Because
I still feel that way.
Yeah, okay, cool.
but yeah, no, I totally get that.
Yeah. It's like there was never, those last few months that we missed were brutal.
But there wasn't enough like of things feeling final and you like really getting to enjoy things. I really like that about senior year, where I felt like for my high school, they were super, it was like the last month of, you know, high school was super, super easy. And it was just kind of about like, you know,
hanging out.
Yeah. Exactly.
Celebrating the seniors. You guys got your letters, your senior letters and all of that, and had a special day for that. It's I came in on Eddie's. They like turned the whole stadium and stuff into just games, like really cool games.
Yeah, that was
and
awesome.
I showed up and I videotaped a bunch of it, and it was so fun. I was like, oh my god, like I don't think we had any of that when I was a kid, but it was so fun.
It's also like where I went, it wasn't even just like a high school, it wasn't a 4 years thing, it was a K through 12 school. Some people had literally been there like over 10 years, and so but we don't need to dwell
So anyway, Eddie and I surprised you at the airport with balloons, made
a
TikTok. Is
that really where that segued from?
Yeah, and so, oh, and then the next day was Maggie's birthday, which we celebrated with family, with my parents, your grandparents, and then all the cousins were in town. Not all of them, but we missed Simone. She didn't get to come, unfortunately, at the last minute, but
great, we had...
Great family day.
We had...
Pickleball.
Mitch.
Oh. I was thinking pickleball.
I was thinking of your unicorn.
Oh,
like, we had a unicorn.
No, yeah. One of my good friends from LA, we're both actually from similar parts of Georgia. And so we happened to be here at the same time. And when you saw him, you were like, you should just come to her family birthday.
Yeah. Exactly, and play pickleball, which is, and then you brought his dad, Eddie, also Eddie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to explain to my entire family, no, this boy who flew from LA to Georgia and came to my family birthday to play pickleball with us isn't my boyfriend. We're just friends.
Yeah. They're you're good friends for each other. I love that.
Yeah, but no, we had so much fun playing pickleball.
Well, just the whole day was great, and it was hard to leave, but we had a long, full day. But we had to go. We had to go up to North Carolina and just keep moving on the Roland family trip. And so this house in North Carolina, we've had it almost 20 years.
Yep, 20 years.
About 20 years.
We bought it the year Maggie's whole life.
And you and I were up there, honey, just checking out the mountains because we both love the mountains. And I remember, you know, we were newly married, relatively speaking, and just driving around in that area. And we were like, wouldn't it be amazing if one day we could get a cabin up here that we could enjoy? And we just, I mean, like, we opened up, we got a magazine, we looked in it. It's kind of like going to the pound to buy a puppy, you know? But but in this maybe newspaper, magazine, whatever, you saw an ad for a friend of yours who was a realtor.
It was a real estate magazine. And I opened it up, and there was my friend's picture. And I was like, all right, this is a sign.
That's
like,
so interesting.
And so I just called him up and I was like, is this my buddy Danny, you know, from Georgia? And so, and I told him, you know, well, we just need to get educated on, you know, what does it cost to buy a house? Can we afford that? And start a two-year process.
Two-year process.
Educating on.
That was the goal.
Yeah. And 2 months later,
it was the first house we looked at. The first house we looked at.
And that's the thing. It was like, no. We don't want to see this. Like, we're starting a two-year process. And it was the first day, and it was amazing.
He sounds good at his job.
Yeah. And the thing was, he just like showed, he goes, no, I'm just showing you what's out there. And we're like, oh, are you sure this is in our price range? Because I don't think we can afford this. But the people were, retired, and they had a house in Florida, and they were anxious to sell it, and it just fell right into our lap at the right time. So it was amazing.
Yeah.
So 9+ acres, almost 10 acres on top of a mountain. It's just gorgeous. And a great place for your kids to like spend weekends. And it was 2 hours from Atlanta, and we enjoyed it for a lot of years. And then we stopped enjoying it. Like, we stopped going as much, and then just
enjoyed it. It was just a
harder to get up to.
Definitely. Yeah. Cause you guys had activities. Maggie was always in plays. Mm-hmm. Eddie was in sports and then fencing. And
but we like grew up in that house. We had so many memories. Eddie, I don't know if you remember this, cause I sure do. But there was this one time, I think it was you had a friend up there, and then I had a friend up there, and you and your friend came running down from a hike you had done, started telling me and my friend that there was a bear that was coming to attack all of us, and it was like tried to hurt you guys, and was going to come to the house.
Was it Jordan?
I think it was probably Jordan.
I honestly don't remember this.
And it caused me to hide on the roof. And I was like begging the rest of the family to hide on the roof because I didn't want everyone to die from a bear. And I kept looking at the woods.
There's a way to get on the roof that, you know, you don't have to get on a ladder. You could from the deck kind of casually hop over to the roof area, which is a beautiful view.
No, at the upstairs window.
Out the deck. Yeah.
Oh, Either. That's right. That's right. Because we have our own methods of getting on the roof.
And by the way, I started to say this, Franklin, North Carolina. It's a 2-hour drive from Atlanta. Little town. Everything feels slower, different. That was part of it. It's like that whole mindset just shifts.
Feels remote. There's no, we've never had Wi-Fi up there, and signal's always been like, you know, spotty. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. Any sort of electronic, it was like movies, you know, we'd watch movies there, but then it was like playing games and board games or playing pretend or going and hiking. And
So we went up to make the rounds, see the house, but also see the area to do all the stuff that we love to do. Like go to the, there's a,
place there called The Factory,
yeah,
which was has been arcade. There all this time. It's a huge arcade, very family oriented and friendly. I remember when you were a baby, Eddie, you know, very young anyway, there was, you loved it because there was this ball fort where you could get in with all these foam balls and throw the balls around.
They were not foam.
Yeah, they were.
They were foam.
They were concrete. Now they're concrete.
We looked at that and they're like, it's like they haven't changed these balls in 20 years.
They used to be a bright color. Now they're all like nasty. Smaller and they're dark and they're
it's interesting.
Yeah.
And nobody plays in there anymore.
But yeah, that it was like the playground inside of the factory. And the factory is like massive. Huge. It's like a giant warehouse with, like, you know, hangar. Bowling and tag and then, of course, the massive arcade
laser
and
tag.
The pizzeria. And then, yeah.
Go-karts outside.
The go-karts outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They might have had, like, rock food, climbing.
Pizza.
Putt-putt.
Yeah.
Putt-putt.
It is a magical place
Let's
to go.
It's
a
magical
it.
Place.
So yes. Cool.
And it still was. I mean, I felt like this trip was, we totally got into that play mode very quickly.
Guitar Hero.
That was great.
That was fun to watch you guys play that.
I was high score.
Yeah.
Like on two machines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. You don't remember? It was like 29,000 on one and then with like 36 or 38 on another. And I was like, I was freaking out. This is the best I'd ever done in my life.
And there's certain games there that we've just never not cheated on. that we have always, there's these, this
to get
one,
the tickets.
This one machine that has two trash cans. I guess they really are like trash cans that randomly open up. They like faces painted on them, and you have to like throw balls in them. And Eddie and I would always just like grab as many as we could and stand in it and just dump them in.
I don't even think, I think we kind of like broke it too because it needs to like sense each one going in, and then we just like pull it all in.
That whole experience, that whole approach strategy hits differently when you're in your 20s, just so you know.
Yeah, you feel a little worse about yourself.
Or like the crocodile. It was like when you hit the things that pop out with a hammer, we'd always like split it up and I get one side, she'd get the other.
But now they say use your hands because I guess they lost the hammer.
Yeah, no, the hammer's disappeared.
He was gone.
Budget cuts.
Yeah, and then of course there's the natural beauty up there as well, the waterfalls and driving in the area. It's just magical. And we're going to still probably go up there from time to time and just to refresh those memories. I tell you, one of the things that made it easier to say goodbye to the house is meeting the new owners, which we weren't supposed to do yet because that's all handled through the real estate agents. But they drove up one morning. You kids were sleeping.
Oh, yeah. No, we were
up. We were, and then the dogs.
Yeah, the dogs were up.
We were up.
Yeah, and they were just practicing driving the mountain road because it's a really steep, gravel, twisty road where you have to drive near the edges in order to make it up.
Very fun.
Mm-hmm. It's very fun, but also can be scary at first.
There's
so,
some people. Yeah.
So anyway, so we met them, and they're super cool. I feel like good to leave it in their hands.
Mm-hmm. They're going to love it.
Yeah.
And Franklin's gotten so cold, so it's like, you know, it's a cool place to live.
Yeah. I don't know if you noticed me taking pictures of the front door while I was up there.
No.
But I decided one thing that I want to do for my, I just moved in LA, and one thing I want to do, I've had this idea before. I almost did this my senior year of high school for my senior art portfolio, but then COVID, and I actually never ended up doing a senior art portfolio. But I want to paint the doors of houses that like are significant to me, and then kind of like line them up. So I took a picture there. I'm gonna take a picture of our house, obviously. I might go to Grandma's old house and take a picture of the door because that house has a lot of significance to me.
Sure.
But yeah, and I want to like paint those and put them around my room.
I wonder, cool. Just a random thought. I wonder if that's what they did with Monsters, Inc. You know, because they made so many doors. If they were like,
yeah, like the ones of like the people involved in the project.
Yeah, maybe they're so real cool. Doors.
Just a little bit. Yeah, exactly. No one would ever know, but they know.
Yeah,
I'll bet you're right. That's a great thought. I love that.
Yeah.
So a whirlwind, super compressed North Carolina experience. Pulled it off.
Yeah.
Made it back. You didn't get called for jury duty.
Not yet.
But that was Sunday night. Monday, I flew to New York, and had a very short night's sleep. I couldn't sleep that night. But I'm thinking, all right, it's all right. I'll sleep on the plane. I'll get there early. I'll get a good night's rest tonight before my speech. Nope, my flight was canceled. I was at the airport all day long, 13 hours, and then delayed again. And so I got in like 2 in the morning
and then up at like 5 a.m. to do my speech.
Yes, but, it's a glamorous job, glamorous life you lead of travel.
Travel is just so lovely and exciting. It's harder. It's harder than it used to be.
Yeah.
But I still loved it. And, you know, there's something about Showtime. And what I've noticed is, like, when I take red-eye flights between speeches, sometimes I've only done that a couple times where I have to, you know, fly in the night before. Stephanie's in the room right now as well. Stephanie's amazing. As you heard from her a few podcasts ago, but she books all my travel. And so sometimes, occasionally, I've had to fly through the night. So when I'm sleep deprived, it's kind of like working on fumes, and it can really put me in a cool mental state to deliver a good speech. I felt like that happened. Like
that's awesome, because when I'm tired, I can't complete sentences.
No.
Like I've heard myself on the podcast here sometimes, and I'll just be like, and then the...
Well, you know what it is? It's the adrenaline, it's the significance of the moment, but it's also like the prayer aspect of it for me. It's like turning it over to God, because
He's better than sleep deprived man, I guess.
Like, it's like the story in the Bible when there's the, you know, He reduces the number of people who can fight the war to you know, basically, and says, I'm gonna take away all of your advantages so that you know it's me who really helped you here. I don't know, maybe that's kind of like part of it. But and, you know, I was a little slap happy, but it was a ton of fun, and good to get home last night and sleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
But.
Well, that's cool. But
something I've been noticing about sleep. This is wild to me. This is another thing of who do I want to be in my 20s. I guess I'm a reader.
Yay.
I guess I'm a reader.
Welcome to the family.
Oh, my gosh. But I keep having this idea of, I'll read to, you know, get myself tired. The other day, I read for like an hour and a half in my bed, and it was 2 a.m. I was like, well, I'm wide awake, and I would personally like to finish this book. I haven't yet. But that's so crazy to me. It totally depends on the book, though, 100%. Like, the last book I read didn't really... It never,
this is the
like
one for your book
me.
Club now?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're liking it.
I knew I was going to like it. I knew I was going to eat it up. It's so...
This is the summer I
The summer
pretty.
I turned pretty.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's very, like, high school, romance, beach, summer, pretty. And I knew I was going to eat it up, and I absolutely am. And it's really making me miss, like, family reunions and, going to Florida beaches. I've always agreed that East Coast beaches are better than West Coast beaches. They're just different. They're so different.
The water's just not freezing.
Yeah, the water's not freezing, and the towns are so different.
Yeah.
Like, L.A., at least, I guess, my main experiences with East or West Coast beaches are strictly in L.A., so they're very different. But around East Coast beaches, you just have these beach towns. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, and everyone's on bikes, and it's so nice, and I really want to go. But that's exactly where this, like, takes place. Oh. And I'm eating it up. I can't wait to see who she falls in love with.
That's cool. So Grandma and Grandpa invited us next summer to do another beach family trip.
That's
so
gonna be amazing.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I love it. I'd like to read more actual books. I feel like reading audiobooks I've actually lost my ability to read books well.
Yeah. Mm.
I feel like I have to relearn that skill and that attention, level of attention that you give to a book.
Yeah.
I mean, it won't take, obviously I've read books since then, and you can get back into it, but it's harder for me to get into a book immediately because I'm used to audiobooks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what I noticed about kind of detoxing from multitasking, is I was having trouble focusing on any one thing because I'd be like cooking while watching TV, while listening to music. And when it came
responding
down, yeah. When it came down to me trying to focus on any actually one thing, I really, really struggled with that. And I think, like, if you're listening to an audiobook, you're probably driving or you're probably cleaning. And
or
so, like, you're never actually focused. You cannot really multitask while reading a book.
Exactly.
Well,
it pulls you in.
Stuff, like, I'll do cleaning and laundry.
Well, no. But, like, while flipping the pages of a book, you cannot be multitasking.
That's why I like to ride a bike. You know, inside bike, not outside bike.
Yeah.
I drive while I'm reading books, actually.
Yeah.
Because I have a Tesla.
I think, like, when I read a physical book, I feel like I'm more
kidding. I don't actually do that.
Audiobooks. And didn't you guys just say, like, audiobooks, you're more focused than...
It depends on the quality of the text. Like, some books just don't work for audio. If there's too much, like, not too much. Many numbers, yeah. if there's a lot of, you know, things that you have to see, yeah. If it's too dry, yeah. But if it's story driven,
you have to see, like a coloring book. What are you talking about? Things you
But I will, I'd say like that
business books sometimes things like
for
that.
Like for certain books, I think it does make more sense for audio. Like if somebody told me I had to read Atlas Shrugged page by page, I would probably not have finished that book. Yeah. But since I listen to it on since I listened to it, it was something that I could kind of take more bit by bit. But yeah, I think.
And you listen to it at like 1.5 speed, at least, right?
That was a skill I learned from high school.
That takes the joy out of it for me.
Okay, but it already takes the joy out of it for you when you read it, knowing that you're going to be tested on these little details and that you're going to have to write about this, this, and this. And so you're not trying to take in the story. You're trying to take in the testable things.
Yeah.
Understood.
And you never know. Like sometimes they'll talk about like symbolism. Other times it'll be like, what flavor lollipop was this?
No, literally.
You never know.
Yeah, and something I ended up doing my junior year when I was reading a book for school is when they would assign chapters on my way home driving, I'd listen to the chapters. And so I would immediately be doing my homework while I was driving. But yeah, we would listen to it sometimes in times two speed. And that's when you knew you were in trouble. That's when you knew you went to read the entire book that night and you had not started.
Some people, though, they like train their minds to work that way. I know someone who did was in Midsummer Night's Dream, and they had a very big role. And they were like, yeah, you know, we're starting next week. I really need my lines memorized. I just like, I don't know. I'm just going to knock it out in this like 10-hour drive that I, you know, when like I go home for the break. And he, like, hadn't even attempted to learn all of the lines yet. And then it was like he listened to it, like, two or three times, and then he just had it. It was, and then I saw him, and it was amazing.
That's an actor skill. So you have that skill of memorizing things pretty quickly.
I have that with lines and scenes. It doesn't really super-duper translate, though, to anything else. Like, if I have to remember a license plate... it's probably not going to happen. Or a phone number.
We used to have to keep all the phone numbers of the people in our lives in our minds and memory rather than in our phones and speed dial. There are certain numbers that I remember because they're from that era.
There's a few I remember.
Yeah.
Shall we list them all?
No.
For this next segment?
So in high school, I had an AP Lit class and, you know, we were reading these books. You mentioned your book club is about books that then you see the movie after you discuss the book. Well, that was always like, is this novel that we're reading, is there a movie available? Kind of like the Cliff Notes or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember Tess of the D'Urbervilles. It's like it was a thick book and there was a movie on it and there was a party before the big test to watch the movie. But that's always so risky because the movie is just such a narrow slice of the book.
Yeah, or it could be like different.
Completely different interpretations and things like that. But yeah, Cliff Notes. I mean, you got to do what you got to do in high school and, you know, to get through tests, like you said. But hopefully the thing is to develop the love of reading and the curiosity about writing.
I feel like sophomore year of high school, I was taking more of a literature class and we do like multiple choice things about like symbolism. It was like, what does water symbolize? Well, obviously it symbolizes life. And so it's like that sort of thing where I feel like you can argue it could symbolize whatever you want as long as you like have context to support it. So that made me really not like literature in literature classes because it was like taking this sort of subjective thing and making it objective. And it's like, you're wrong. You interpreted that wrong. And then I ended up taking AP Lit senior year and I did really well. And I really liked it. I got like a 4 on the exam because you make claims and you provide support for it and you just enjoy the book and like understand it.
So that's very interesting. I'm curious if you wouldn't mind talking about it. I think people would find it interesting and possibly helpful because we were talking this morning about, you know, being neurodivergent, your mind working different than other people's minds, and ADHD, and you know, I have some of those qualities. You have those qualities.
Right.
And so how does that relate to reading? Because you have always been a voracious reader.
Yeah.
And you can sit down and immerse yourself in a book and be completely absorbed and focused to a level of detail that's beyond me. Like when you're in a reading a scene, I know you're picturing it like completely.
Yeah, right. Like imagining, it's like imagining the 3D space and like kind of being able to walk around in it. You like know, you can kind of like picture characters' faces or things like that. Like you know where all the furniture is. I think it's interesting because I do think, because I have a very like fast moving brain, I don't really like audiobooks because I'll listen to it for like, you know, 20 seconds before my mind starts wandering off to other things. But with books, I'm like, you know, completely focused on it and I can just like fly through it. And I totally like, if I like a book, I will read it very, very fast. And it's kind of like that takes up all my free time. And that's what I did and when all of us went to Los Angeles, I picked a book out and I really, really liked it. And I just like, I remember I read like 4 pages or something because I had started it before, and then I picked it up again and started reading it, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. And just like that was, I just crushed through that book. I don't know. It's interesting. For some people, like they, you know, you might prefer audiobooks. For me, I definitely like reading. But then I'll also go after that. Like, I haven't read a book since then, and that's been a while. And sometimes it will be like a year or 2 years before I read anything, like read any books, and then I'll go back and just become like super immersed in it. Like, I read literature.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's been
Every time you're home. You get surprised, you'll be like, oh, where's that Stephen King book?
And it's I'm almost like,
oh, I thought you read that last time. I'm like, I start, and there'll be like literally 3 books on the dining room or the living room table that you're reading.
Yeah, and I think part of that is
the other thing that I always found interesting. How can you be reading 3 completely different books at one time?
Yeah, I do think, because, I don't know. Normally, I feel like I won't really finish books if I start dividing it up too much. Because there is another book that I want to finish that was super interesting, but I just kind of, like, push it to the wayside. It's that it's not realistic fiction, but it's written like that, but it's nonfiction, or historical nonfiction. But I do know that, like, at some point, I'm going to pick it up again and then just, I don't know, just start where I left off.
Can you picture characters? Like, do you, like, see their face?
Yeah, but faces are hard because it's one of those things that the more you try to focus on it, the more distorted the face is.
Yeah.
But it's almost like if you're not actively trying to do it, you can see the face really clearly. Mm-hmm. And just in general with everything, I feel like when I start books, it's almost like a movie, how crazy realistic I can imagine things and the detail and, like, I don't know. I remember reading this Game of Thrones book where it starts out with them on the beaches, like on a beach, and I don't know, it was just described so well, and that whole scene carried out like a movie, and it was super cinematic. And then, you know, when I'm halfway through the book, I feel like the images are a little bit more PS2 graphics as opposed to, like, you know, next-gen graphics, I guess. It's like a little bit more, just more about the shapes and the structure, and it's less detailed, I guess.
See, I don't even... that's amazing to me. Because for me, it's more like, can I follow the story? Am I learning about the characters?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it seems like the... I mean, certain authors especially, they'll go for pages about detail. And the reason about that I found out was back in when books were first being published, and you know, that was the market for books. Authors would get paid by the word or by the page.
Yeah. Alexander Dumas, the Musketeers.
And so they would deliberately go on and on about the scenes and describing things, and you know, it's beautiful imagery, but they were just making more money.
Yeah, I'm not huge into that. I like the story to move kind of quickly. One of my hard issues originally with books was the whole when I like watch something and I get a little bit bored, I like to fast forward and just kind of go to the spots of the storylines that I'm interested in, everything like that. It's a lot harder to do when you're reading because you don't have the little frame to go by to see what you're missing. So I would just skip 10, 15 pages and then be like, oh crap. Like, what? This character just died. No, literally, I'm like, where did so-and-so go?
Game of Thrones, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You can't skip anything.
But I also think that there's something really beautiful about the fact of like not knowing what people look like and really kind of just getting to know the character for like their qualities, if that makes any sense. I don't know. It's really, really interesting. I genuinely think it's helping me. Like, be more, this sounds so stupid. I think reading is helping me be more open to like a relationship and like experiencing life in a weird way. Because when I watch movies or TV, yes, I'm watching the story, but I'm also watching from an actor's perspective.
Yeah, you're watching the technical
side. Yeah, I'm watching choices. I'm watching continuity. I'm watching certain angles and techniques and everything like that.
It's just you and the author.
When I'm reading, I'm like, oh, these are people. It's not like I'm not watching an actor. Which, like, actors can be so great that you forget, like, they're whatever. Yeah, totally. But you're even, like, when I watch an actor who's so great that I forget they're an actor, I'm like, how are they doing that? I want to learn
and stuff like that.
And so there's, like, a different aspect of enjoying from reading right now that I'm experiencing.
I want to say one more thing about, like, the reading thing. Interesting thing. I have an older brother who, he was a voracious reader and had a photographic memory and... just really, really brilliant. And he said he would read his dreams. So I remember my mom telling me, he said this, that he'd be having his dream, but there's a book alongside it.
Interesting.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
And I know for me, I sometimes will dream and it'll be like a film and I'm in the film and it was like, oh, I don't like this, the way this is going. And I kind of like, no, we're going to start that scene again and I'll like rewrite my dreams.
Yeah.
But I just found that.
Wild.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
I can't relate to that.
Isn't that amazing?
Well, that's amazing that you can control your dreams like that. I think I've maybe only done that a few times.
If I can't control my dream and it's going south, I'm like, not having this. And I wake myself up, even though I can't.
I've done that.
Or I'll wake myself up. This is when I'm super tired. I'll wake myself up from this dream, like, okay, I'm not having this. And then I'll start telling you about the dream I had. And then I'll wake up again because I was still dreaming. I've done that.
How about the dreams where you have dreams about me flirting with other women and then you wake up and I'm suddenly in trouble?
That's right.
It's like you treat me like I did something wrong. It's like,
I can't believe you did that.
Yeah.
How would you even think that was okay?
It's like, honey, and I don't even get the benefit of the dream, you know? It's like, no.
Yes, now you know.
Yeah.
Oh boy, that's so great.
There was something that I know you and I briefly brought up this morning that we kind of wanted to talk about.
Go ahead, and then we also have some questions to get to and that kind of stuff. I just want listeners to know that questions are coming a little bit later, but you were starting to tell me something
of like the idea of some people, you know, when they say, oh, this person was born for this. Where I genuinely do feel like there are people who are so wired to be influencers and to be that. And I don't think I'm one of those people.
Hmm. What causes you to think that?
It's a lot of the time, I think you're wired for it. Genuinely.
Be an influencer?
Yeah. For like, not even, okay, maybe influencers.
No, we're not talking about like, not just necessarily TikTok, but you mean.
Like vlogging. Like, this, my bad. But of like, I notice it when I pull up and see you at the airport and you're out there vlogging, talking to your phone in front of people, where I'm like, that to me terrifies me to my core for other people to see me making content.
Or capturing our happy birthday song and then turning the camera on me for a second.
Yeah. It's that instinct in you where it's like you understand, like you're just not afraid of it. And I noticed that too with other people. We talked earlier today, we were talking about our friend Liz.
I was afraid of it in the beginning.
Yeah.
Performing in general. I think it's just that I started so young and I like built up the, I don't know. It's interesting whether it was
immersion or natural tendencies? That's a great question.
But we were, like, you and I were talking this morning about our friend Liv Pearsall, and she's so good at that.
She's amazing.
Where she can be in front of other people and make content and just kind of thrive off of that. Where I don't know why it's such a thing to me. You can scroll through my page and you can see most of them are just me alone or me with my family. I feel like we help each other in that aspect. But I think some people are just like wired for it.
I think you can. I know. I get you and I understand that. But I see you being able to step into that. Like this podcast, for example, both you kids are just so articulate and clear about your thinking and your choices. And that has influence, amazing influence. And the degree to which you can do that on a platform, you know, even if it is by yourself talking in a camera, the tricky part I've noticed for me is what's your intention? Because if my intention is I've got to make content, I've got to come up with something to say and do because it's been too long since I posted or because my followers are going down or whatever. It's like, that's so the wrong motivation. But if you can genuinely say, I'm having a truthful realization here or a thought or an experience. Yeah. Or even something that's painful that I'm going through that might be able to help someone else.
Yeah.
And then if your intention is like, I really want to help someone else, I don't see how you can miss with your talents, with your articulate nature.
It's interesting, because I'm always like back and forth with social media. Right now, I deleted a lot of social media, and as of right now, like I don't know when I'm going back, but I do feel like sometimes when I'm like on social media, the pressure to post will like push me from posting for a very, very, very long time, and then when I finally feel like I'm doing something or like thinking about something and it feels like I'm genuinely, like, have an idea for a post or something's just in the moment where I'm with friends and then we'll, like, you know, take a picture or something. It's like, yeah, I'll just throw that up and with, like, you know, without a second thought. And then it makes me want to continue that feeling of, like, genuine, I don't know, like, it's all, like, just genuine
sharing.
Like who I am, what I'm doing.
If you have the feedback loop a little bit, right? Is what you're saying.
And that, like, I feel like it's so much easier when I'm not thinking about the pressure of it. And then I feel like it always will inevitably come back where it's like, oh man, I've been, you know, I did, you know, one post every day for the past 4 days and then feeling like I don't want to post today or something. It's like, now I feel the urge to do it. And then it kind of like,
or the responsibility.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll just not post for like a month or 2 months or however long.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I will tell you this though. When I am recording myself in public around people, most of my weekly videos I do early when there's nobody around. Mm-hmm. That's the best. And even that, I realize I'm drawing undue attention to myself because I'm loud and, you know, I'm in hotel spaces or whatever. I know there's people in their rooms going, who the heck is out there talking to himself? And why is he saying the same damn thing over and over and over again? Because he can't get the take just right, whatever. But if I record something in public and it's the moment it's over, I leave. It's like, I don't want to be around. I am able to put the people around me in this category of like, I'm oblivious, so you should be oblivious too.
Yeah. You know, pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
Exactly. But then I immediately need to go.
That's funny.
Because Morgan's definitely like that, where she's much more open about doing things or like just in public being more herself or being goofy or not really worrying about other people because rationally, I mean, you're probably never going to see these people again. Maybe you will. They'll probably not, I don't know, like you won't even realize it if you do. So I think it's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember one time you and I were in Portland and we were shooting with Chris West.
Yeah.
And he was shooting our weekly video that week, which is very unusual, but he shot it for us and mic'd me. And it was interesting because I had not only, you know, my own awareness, but the awareness of him. And now I'm kind of performing for a professional crew.
That's true, yeah.
It was really weird. But then we were on the street and there was people walking by and they could see what we're doing. And he comes up to me and he just says, so are you a vlogger? Like wanting to know. And I was like,
Yeah, well, I just, you know, I do these weekly videos, and yeah, I put them on the internet for my clients and friends like this, that, and I just had this really awkward kind of trade with them. Mm-hmm. And I turned to Chris, and Chris looks at me and he says, Dan, the answer is just always yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all you need to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true. Are you feeling a little warmer?
I'm so warm. It's so warm in here.
I'm going to check the temperature.
Okay. So you can't check the temperature.
Also, bring up the fact that Spencer's been sitting in my lap
the whole time. Yeah. It's 79 degrees now, been up seven degrees. Yeah, it's very hot outside. How about a question? Sound good? We have two questions today. We might get to both of them.
We might just get to one.
Well, maybe,
it's
maybe.
Melting.
Yeah. Who knows? Let's see. Which one? I'm gonna go.
Ooh,
with.
Can I pick one?
Yeah.
Yeah, just hold them out and I'll grab one.
Okay.
Or do you have a certain one you want to do?
I don't care.
Okay. Should I read it?
Yes.
Give me the other one.
With all your acting skills.
Hi, Maggie and Dan. I'm a college student right now at my local community college, but I'm transferring out of the state. I've become really close to many good friends, and the thought of moving out into an apartment alone is starting to scare me. I rely on being able to hang with... Oh, I'm going to start that sentence again. Everybody pretend like it's the first time. I rely on being able to hang with and confide in friends, people that keep me going. Any advice about dealing with mental health when you are alone and not shutting yourself down / away from others, and how to deal with moving away from friends? BTW, I love the podcast. Your whole entire family inspires me so much. Aww. Love y'all. Justine. Also requesting live stream crochet.
Yeah. So mental health. Being alone,
moving away from friends.
Yeah, there's a lot that I have to say about that for sure.
Justine.
I feel like I'm just gonna hit a bunch of things in no particular order. Something for me is video games. Playing like Minecraft with friends or Elden Ring right now. I'm playing Elden Ring with friends, and that is a way that I have been able to talk to the people, from Georgia, from my hometown, and really anyone, any people that I've met that I don't, see regularly, that has been the best way where I will, stay in regular communication with them, and we'll have fun, we'll, play games, and then we'll also talk about real stuff and real life, and just, we're just in each other's lives, but it definitely, I think there is an adjustment period, and, I think being in an apartment alone is isolating. And I think you have to actively get around that. It depends. Some people are very good at, it's interesting because I like my alone space and feeling like I can kind of get away from things. But then if I'm in that for too long, then I feel like I need to go talk to people and I start to feel really lonely and, sort of like overthinking things, all this stuff. So you kind of have to actively combat that. And a great way to do it is to just, get food, go for walks, grab food somewhere.
Explore your area.
Yeah. And I do you will probably stay in contact with your friends, even though if a few months go by or even a year goes by or more, and you're not talking to certain people. I think if they are real friends and there's someone that is close, they'll always be there and you'll always be able to talk to them and kind of jump back in. And there's no we haven't talked for a year. Thanks for, hanging me out to dry. Hopefully not. That just seems silly. There are people now that I don't talk to and, friends, I feel like that I wouldn't even say lost. It's just we're just so out of contact. We haven't talked in forever, but I think it's always going to be there. And, it's,
what was the quote from a previous podcast? Friends for a season,
a reason
yeah. And a lifetime.
Because there's totally the people in high school or, college. I went to two colleges. So, there are a lot of friends that I made, just very casual friends that I'm probably never going to talk to again. But in both of them, with all these places, there are people that, I will always, we're going to be
Friends like to the end.
Forever. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Like 20 years could go by and it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, that's how Tony and I were. Mm-hmm. She was like, it's crazy. It's like we hadn't talked in like 10 years and then we pick up the phone and we talked for an hour. I'm like,
yep.
Exactly.
That's the best.
Our life has always been. She's one of my besties.
Yeah. Dad, what about you?
Well, I just want to respond to Eddie and then I'll let you comment because you guys have more experience. But one of the things about you and video games, it's been a learning journey for me to support you in that.
Yeah.
Because it's hard for me and maybe for other parents to think about video games as anything but isolating. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're alone. You're sitting on a couch. You're in a room. You're staring at a screen. How is this good? How is this friendships? How is this? This isn't real life, right? But what you just described and what I've come to understand is it's like, it represents the long hang, right? Yeah. And so there's a difference between picking up the phone and calling to someone for a specific conversation or exchange or question or whatever. But it's like when you just are in somebody's presence and hang for a long time without any expectation of like, here's what we're going to talk about, but just let it happen naturally. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens when you're in physical presence, but it also happens in electronic space. And and COVID, I think, has stretched everybody's mind about, well, it's not all this way or that way. There's great aspects. There's challenging aspects to the virtual world. So,
yeah. And I mean, that's just what works for me too.
Because
Morgan, you know, she stays in contact with friends. And usually what she does is like every day when she drives to work, she just calls someone. And then if they don't answer, then she calls someone else. Mm-hmm. And that I'm not like that personally, but that, you know, there's no wrong answers.
Just don't let yourself be isolated. Don't do negative self-talk. Don't start saying, well, I'm all by myself and nobody cares about me.
Whatever.
Don't let yourself get into that.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I think it's important to recognize when that is happening and like really just tell someone or just, you know, do what you need to do, like get out or just talk.
Join a club. Like when I was in college and I ended up moving, but I'd gone to a church to say, all right, I need a church family, and this is, you know, I was good looking at they were going to go on a retreat or whatever, or join a bowling group or whatever. There's different activities that you can do, and see what you like just to
sit out. I saw this thing on TikTok that was really interesting. It's like a trend. I've seen it a few times where it says me talking bad about myself and then remembering I'm talking about her. Mm. And it's a picture of the, like their younger self.
Oof, yeah.
And I was like, that's such a good point. That is such a good point. Like every time you beat yourself up, every time you tell yourself like you're worthless or just are so hard on yourself, you, like imagine you talking to your like 8-year-old self.
Mm-hmm. They deserve
better than that.
Yeah, this is, I think, a really huge part of my mission in life is like what I was put on this earth to do is to help people combat that negative self-talk. I just can't stand it. I can't stand it in myself, and I can't stand it when I see other people do that. And we have to build this awareness to recognize that at the first sign as it's harmful. Mm-hmm. It's toxic. You can't indulge it even for a second because it will destroy you. And you just don't feed that at all.
Yeah.
And choose a different perspective, even if it's a little bit, simplified or optimistic, or, you know, some would say you're leaving out some of the scariest or most relevant matters that could be frightening. It's like, yes. Because I want to focus on what serves me at this moment and puts me in an empowering state.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In regards to Justine, I've lived alone for almost the last year. And I loved it. I loved a lot of aspects about it. And I just had to be intentional about getting out of the house. And I talked to a friend about this, and they said their whole process was see other people every single day of the week except one. You can have one that is just you. But every single other day, make sure that you're seeing people. It doesn't have to be going and doing something crazy. Even if it's maybe just going to do your work at a coffee shop or something so you're not alone.
Stalking random strangers.
Yeah.
don't do that.
but stuff like that. And then also just getting involved in things to kind of meet your community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's also no pressure there. So if, because I feel like for me, when COVID hit, I spent a lot more time inside, just things, it didn't feel the same to just walk around. And I was in Boston, so, you're wearing masks outside and you're just, it feels like you're closed off from everyone. And so it kind of felt like, oh, well, now I can't, I don't know. It was like, oh, well, I'm just a shut-in now. And it's like that, I don't know, there's no time limit. Or like if you stop going out, or if you feel like you've been shut in for too long, there's never a chance. Or like there's no one saying, well, you can't like change that, or you can't like just go outside right now and just go for a walk. And
it's never too late. Mm-hmm. That's how you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
It is warm in here.
It's like 80 degrees. Yeah. But I'm going from here down to South Georgia, where it's even warmer later today. It's hard to believe I was in New York yesterday doing a speech.
Was it colder in New York?
No, it was pretty, well, it was just maybe a few degrees.
Okay.
And of course I was only outside in the middle of the night, but
what?
when I came in, no, but it was pretty warm on the way back. Anyway, it's like 96 or something today, 97 outside. That's, and I'm going further south. But I'm going to be doing like one of my favorite things, speaking for and performing for Camp Big Heart, which I just wanted to mention, because if you are looking for a great cause to support, campbigheart.org is this amazing special needs camp that is here in Georgia. And they, you know, work with kids and adults alike who are, mentally challenged, Down syndrome, cognitive learning issues, et cetera. And it's just the most amazing place.
It's like pure wholesome.
Yeah.
Both you guys.
Like what you said, the very first time that you took Eddie, I want to say you were like 5 or 6 years old. And so I was, interested in what his reaction was. And you guys came home, and I guess you were a baby. And I was like, what'd you think? How was it, Eddie? He goes, oh, Mom, they just love us so much. They're just,
yeah,
they have so much love, and they'll hug you. And it was just like, oh. It's so sweet. Yeah.
It is an incredible place. And I've done it for every year, almost every year, for over 35 years.
Before we were married.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because I was a teenager in high school, I guess, when I started. Somehow I got a random call, like, would you do this thing? And I was like, yes. And it's like, after that, you just can't say no.
And then you move in the camp further away. So.
And you guys have both performed on stage with me. They've seen you grow up, these campers. And
I'm sure we'll hear all about it on next week's podcast.
Absolutely. So.
But until then, thank you so much for listening and spending some time with us.
Yes. And be sure to go to wholesomechaos.com for more information and resources, and you can ask us questions there. We will get to more of those questions next week as well. Are we going to try to do another podcast with the family?
Yeah,
before
I think we
should. You guys take off,
and we'll bring in iridescently.
Yes, okay, so great. You guys have
and
to
we will
stay waiting
start by cooling off the studio even a little bit more.
Yes. Alrighty.
Well, I love you all so
love
much,
you guys.
And we love you. And have a great week. Talk
that
to you
camera.
Soon. Oh, have a great week. We will see you soon. Take care.
Max and Dad's wholesome chaos. Max and Dad's wholesome chaos.
So, question, guys. Whose fingerprints are most similar to humans? Gorillas, chimpanzees, koala bears, or black bears?
Polar bears.
Chimpanzees.
Polar bears wasn't one of the options.
What were the options?
Gorillas, chimpanzees, koala bears, or black bears?
Chimpanzees.
Chimpanzees. Oh, wait.
But I feel like that's a trick question. I'm going to stick with polar bears.
It's actually koala bear.
Really?
Koala bear fingerprints.
Wow. How about that?
They are more similar to humans than any of those. And it said they were first discovered by researchers at the University of Adelaide in Australia, 1996. And the joke was that although it's extremely unlikely that koala prints would be found at the scene of a crime, police should at least be aware of the possibility.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.